A reading from the Gospel of Mark. This is what John the Baptist proclaimed. One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It happened in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. On coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Today is the feast of the baptism of the Lord. The feast seems to serve as a bridge between the Christmas season that we're wrapping up and the ordinary time that we're beginning, turning us backward and turning us forward. Meeting Jesus in the infancy narratives that we have listened to throughout the Christmas season presents us with a great paradox. He's born an ordinary baby, yet angels announce his birth. He's laid in a manger amidst beasts of burden, yet the stars of the sky cradle him with light. He's found amidst lowly shepherds, and yet kings bring him gifts. They give him a most common name, Jesus. But in the readings of the last several weeks, we've heard him called ruler of the house of Jacob, heir of the throne of David, Emmanuel, Messiah and Lord, the Word made flesh, light of the Gentiles, the glory of Israel, prince, shepherd of God's people. Now, today, we hear one last name, one last key to unlocking this man's identity. We have heard who he is to us. Now we hear who he is to God. He is beloved. He is son. Names are an interesting thing. It's always an interesting conversation to debate the power of a name. We always say that we're not the same as our names and that what people call us doesn't really matter. But would my life be radically different if, from birth, my parents had named me Colleen, as my dad had advocated, instead of Anne, or if they'd named me Muffy or Zoe? All are fine names, but would I have become someone different than who I am? Perhaps. We definitely continue to become more aware of the effects of name-calling on the self-esteem of children, how the label stupid can haunt a person long after it's last applied. Names do shape us in a mysterious way as we become what we are called. Many of the names attributed to Jesus in the infancy narratives we have focused on so prominently in the last few weeks, we know were probably applied to him after he had died and rose. These infancy narratives were among the last parts of the Gospels written, the fruit of much reflection by various disciples about the true identity of this man in their midst. They were applied by others to describe the Jesus they had experienced. Our gospel today, however, gives us insight into how Jesus possibly experienced himself as named. The event of Jesus' baptism by John is one of only a handful of stories that all four of the Gospels have in common. While each Gospel tells it slightly differently, by its frequency, we must be convinced of its powerful and formative effect on Jesus' life. Matthew and Mark lead us to believe that Jesus himself was the source of the story. For it is only Jesus who sees the sky rent in two and the Spirit descending like a dove. And in the Gospel of Mark, the earliest of the Christian Gospels, it's only Jesus who hears that voice that says, "You are my beloved Son. On you my favor rests." While the Christian community would come to affirm this divine naming, we might guess that it began as his own spiritual insight that he shared with those closest to him. Of all the names we've heard given to Jesus over the last couple weeks, this alone seems to be the one he heard himself, the one that whispered and boomed and echoed throughout his entire life, the one that shaped his whole person, that formed him into who he would become. You are my beloved son. Would Jesus have been Jesus without this name, without this knowledge? We can speculate, no. The infancy narratives reveal several epiphany events in which Jesus' true identity was made known to others. The story of Christ's baptism seems to reveal the epiphany event in which Jesus' true identity became known to himself. I am the beloved Son of God. We can imagine how this knowledge must have made him feel, the joy, the kind of tickle in the gut when one knows that one is the object of infatuation, of affection. I am beloved. We can imagine how people became friendlier, and power figures less intimidating, and hardship less frightening. I am beloved. Jesus' baptism shaped his whole worldview. It affected everything, the work he would take on, the way he interacted with people, what he preached, and eventually even the way he would die. This man, the beloved one that God raised from the dead, and beloved is the name above all other names, which led to us calling upon him by so many names. It's not his name alone, however, for in baptism each one of us was called beloved by God. Each one of us was called child. Each one of us the sky has rent and the Spirit descends. But have you heard yet? You who have come out of the water, have you heard? Do you have a tickle in your gut knowing that the divine smiles down on you with affection, delights in your very being? Do you really know? And are you letting that love form you? Is it shaping the way you look at the world? Is it determining your every activity, your every interaction? Let us share in a few moments of silence this day to allow God to look at us with affection as on the day of our baptism, and to hear the name that shapes us, the name that most becomes us, the name that gives reason for everything we do.